Well, hello, Fairhaven Church. Let's try that again. Hello, Centerville. Great to see you. Let's try it at Classic, see how they do. Hello, Classics. Springboro, hello. How are you over there? Northmont, hello. Let's see if you can respond as well. Glad to have all of you with us here today. If you're a guest with us in any one of our locations, you didn't quite come in at the credits, but you came in at the very end. We're at week 7 of a series that we're ending today, and the series is entitled Step Up, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. So for those of you that are guests here at Classics or at Northmont, Springboro, or here in Centerville, let me say that we've been talking for 7 weeks about the fact that you were meant for more. And as we've been going through the series, we've been looking at one verse, which we'll turn in just a few minutes, and then we've been looking at stories in the Old Testament that will help us to understand that you were meant for more. Now, I didn't say you were meant to have more. You were meant for more. In other words, God wants to do amazing things in your life to help you in your relationships, to help you in your careers, to help you navigate children, if you have children, to navigate all the aspects of your life, your finances, your thought life, how you spend your extra time, what you do with your hobbies, all those kinds of things. God wants to be involved in all of it, believe it or not, and you were meant for more. And so we're in this series, and for the last 7 weeks, we've been leading up to this week, because this is the week, you all know, if you've been with us, that you get to the opportunity to make a New Year's resolution. In February, you get to decide that for this next year, you're going to maybe focus on one aspect of your life, one relationship, or maybe you're dealing with some thoughts that you want to get rid of, or maybe an action in your life that you want to stop or start in your life. And so this is the opportunity that you have to do that as we conclude this series entitled Step Up. A couple things that we've been saying, if you've missed it with us, that we've been saying about Step Up. The first is this, that God wants us to experience Him in everything. I just actually mentioned that. God wants us to experience Him in every area of our life. That's really, really important to Him. When you read between the leather covers here, or if yours is a, you know, electronic device, as you read the scriptures, what you find in here is that God writes to us this love letter because He wants to be involved in every area of our lives. He created us. It starts out that way. And it says at the very end that He's coming back one day to get us. And he talks all the way through this about how He wants to be involved in every aspect, every area of our life. I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it one more time. There's nothing that you do in your life, if you are a Christ follower, that is not a spiritual thing. Because when you are a Christ follower, everything that you do is spiritual, because God wants to be involved in every area of your life. So why are we doing this series? Because some of you are thinking, well, then if God wants to be involved in every area of my life, why doesn't He? Why doesn't He just go ahead and do it that? Well, here's the second piece to this series as we've been talking about it. He invites us to step up. He invites us to take action. He invites us to make a commitment. He invites us to obedience. He invites us to faith. He invites us to participate. God has the power to do all things, but He won't supersede your will. He wants you to make a choice. And so that's how we're going to end today, as we have a commitment opportunity for you to step up in every area of your life, or particularly in one area of your life, whether it's a relationship, a habit, something that you're doing that you want to stop doing, something that you're not doing that you think, you know what, I need to spend more time with my son. Or you know what, I've got a granddaughter who really needs my attention, and I want to give her that attention, and maybe that's what you want to do. Or maybe there's a friend in your life that you know is hurting, and you know you just kind of have been ignoring them, or maybe saying, you know what, it's not really my problem. And God has been speaking to you for week after week after week, and you're thinking, you know what, it's time for me to step up. So this is the week that we get to do that. Take your Bibles, if you have a Bible with me, in all of our campuses, in all of our venues, and let's turn to the verse that we've been looking at for this entire 7 weeks. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You probably could quote it. In fact, I'm hoping that you can quote it, but we'll look at it again, we'll read it, and then we'll talk about one more aspect that we want to focus in on today quickly, and then we'll get to the very end here, where we're going to rehearse all 7 of the things that we've talked about and give you an opportunity to step up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Here's what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can please God, and God is pleased by faith. So let's say that out loud. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In all of our campuses, let's say it like we mean it. Let's say it like we're considering a way that we can step up. Let's say it as if we have been considering this in our lives. Let's say it as if God is saying this to us today so that you and I can know how we can please Him. So let's say together in all of our campuses and venues, let's say it aloud. Here we go. Without faith, it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. It goes on, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And we've been saying in this series, if you're here and you're not a Christ follower and you're any one of our campuses, there at Springboro, if you're coming because a family member has invited you or a neighbor or at Northmont or at Classics here in this Centerville campus here, as we've been talking about this, it's really important for you to know that there is something that needs to happen in our lives before we take a step up, and that is we need to consider who Jesus Christ is in our lives. We need to consider this broken relationship that we have with God that can only be brought back together through Jesus Christ. And so it says in here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Here's why. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, must believe that we can surrender our lives to Him, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Let's say that together on all of our campuses. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I hope that that is drilled into your minds, because that's really what this verse, the piece of this verse that we've been talking about, that we ought to step up. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Let me say it another way. He rewards those of you, those of us, myself, those of us that are willing to step up. As we consider a new year, as we consider our relationships, as we consider our thought life, as we consider our habits, as we consider our families, as we consider those around us, as we consider our community, He rewards those who step up. What does it take to step up? What does it take in your life to step up? If we're talking today in all of our campuses, and again, if you're a visitor, you came at the very end, and so maybe you just want to watch and observe. Or maybe God will speak to you in this very moment and you can step up with us today. But what does it take to step up? I'm going to suggest four things to you, and I'm going to encourage you to write these four things down, because as we look at these four things, it'll help us as we go into the Old Testament and look at one more story, but it also will help us as today you get to make a commitment. Today you get to step up. You get to make a decision in your life. Stepping up starts with a couple of things. Let me mention them, and let's talk about them for just a little bit as we consider Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and then we're going to look at one verse at the bottom of Hebrews 11, and then we'll go into the Old Testament and look at another story. Stepping up starts, number one, with recognizing the need for a change. See, when we talk about stepping up, when we talk about making a choice, and we talk about God wanting to be involved in every area of our life, and yet He invites us to step up, it starts with recognizing that there needs to be a change. It starts, if you're married, by recognizing that maybe there's something that you need to do differently in your marriage, so you ought to step up so that God can do some amazing things, supernatural things in your marriage. Or maybe in a relationship with a coworker or a friend that you've had for many, many years, or one of your children, or something that you need to do in your thought life, as I've mentioned over and over again. It starts with recognizing the need for a change, or it starts with recognizing the need for God, because God wants to be involved in every area of our life, our careers, our relationships, the things that we deal with on a regular basis, our spiritual life. That's the first thing about stepping up. Here's the second thing. Stepping up starts with taking one step at a time. As you make a commitment, and maybe today is the day for you, as you step up and you make that commitment, you make your resolution for 2015, as you do that, it starts by taking one step. Stepping up is starting with one step. Here's the reason why we hesitate to step up. Here's the reason why today, in all of our campuses, is I invite you to make a decision and to step up, which I'm going to ask you at the very end, in all of our campuses, to stand if you're physically able to do that, and all of our campus pastors are going to help us with this. As you stand, you're going to feel like your legs are 4,000 pounds. Because here's what's going to go through your mind, as it's already gone through mine. I've already made my decision. I want you to know that I've already done this during this week. I thought to myself, I want to start this. I want to make sure that I know the areas in my life, and I want to step up in one particular area of my life. And our hesitation to stepping up is that we project the next 10 steps. Our hesitation to taking the next step or to stepping up is that we want to know the next 4 months. Because we play the what-if game, right? What if I step up and my marriage isn't better? Or what if I step up and my relationship with my granddaughter isn't better? What if I step up and I still struggle with that thought life? So we hesitate. How many of you are willing to admit that you might struggle with control in your life? Can I just, in all of our campuses, would you just raise your hand, just hold them up high? We want to make sure that we know where you park, if you'll just let us know. How many of you came with somebody that you know struggles with? No, don't raise your hand. That's a really dangerous thing to do that. Many of us know people. In fact, we might struggle with it in our own lives. In fact, I think all of us at some level struggle with control. Here's what the Bible says when it comes to taking the next step, when it comes to stepping up in our lives. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." The Lord will make firm your decision as you step up. Psalm 119, 133 says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, or Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York, I know the lead pastor there, and I've got a friend who also serves in that church there, and many of you have heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Have you ever heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Well, they have a song that they sing, and the song is entitled, "Order My Steps." It's a great song. And in the song, this is what they sing. "Order my steps, God, because Satan is so busy, but God is real." I love that phrase in that song. See, taking a step starts with taking one step at a time. And so as we decide to make this decision today, as we step up, it's just stepping up to that one decision in our lives, that first decision. Don't know what the next five are, don't know what the next 4 months look like, but it's one step at a time. Here's number three. Stepping up starts with being willing to do the hard thing. We've been talking about that for 7 weeks, if you haven't been with us, that we need to do the right hard thing. The hard things in life are just that, they're hard, but we need to be willing to do the hard things. See, this is where we live in this series. This is where we have lived, right here. No one likes to do hard things. It's not exciting to do hard things, but it takes a willingness to do hard things. And when we're willing to do hard things and we're willing to step up, realize that God is there and he wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. And here's the fourth thing. Stepping up starts with a commitment. Making a commitment, or maybe another way of saying it is making a decision. Where you make a decision, where you step up and you say, "I'm committing in this area. I'm committing to do this. I'm deciding that I'm going to step up in this particular area." When I was a senior in high school, I actually graduated from Zion Benton High School in Illinois. Many of you know I lived over in Southeast Asia most of my life, and I went to school most of my life in Southeast Asia, but my parents came back to the U.S. My father was getting some more education, and we went to the Chicagoland area, and I went to his high school, big high school, north of Chicago, in a place called Zion, which is just south of Kenosha, Wisconsin, right on the border there. And in Zion Benton High School is this massive high school that I went to, and I didn't know anybody when I first went there, so it was a little intimidating to go to this massive high school. And I'll never forget, we had PE classes where in PE we had to take different sports at different times. And so we did softball, and we did volleyball, we did basketball, we did dodgeball, which was kind of fun. But then we had swimming as one of them. And I can swim, but I'm not a great swimmer. I swim like a rock, actually. I don't know if it's because of my weight or just I'm. And so swimming is not something that I'm really good at. And the thing I was, you know, not looking forward to about this class was that they had a low diving board and they had a high diving board. And by the end of the class, you had to show proficiency in jumping off the low diving board and jumping off the high diving board. Not only did you have to jump off the high dive, you had to dive off the high dive. Now, I'm one of those individuals where I prefer to stay on the ground, which is kind of a nice way to say I don't like heights. Anybody else not like heights? Am I alone in this? Okay. And so, you know, this high dive seemed much higher than it probably was. And I remember the day that it was our time to go up to the high dive in order to be able to show proficiency of jumping off and diving. I'm not even sure why we had to do this, but we did. I mean, it was just part of PE class. And so I remember going up one step at a time as I was climbing up there, keeping in mind that the guy before me, because you had to stay all the way at the ground, and you couldn't climb up the ladder until the other guy had jumped off. And so we sort of turned around and watched, you know, the diving board. And the guy ahead of me went all the way up the steps, and he walked all the way out. And he was, you know, he was apparently not afraid of heights and ran all the way to the end, jumped as hard as he could, went up in the air, and not only dove, he wanted to do a 1.5. Are you with me? And as he did the 1.5, showing off to the class, he came down and hit his head on the diving board, which sent him kind of sideways, and he just face planted right into the water. Now, that looked like it really hurt. I don't know, but so here I am, I'm next, and I get up to the steps, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm certainly not going to do 1.5. I'm going to be lucky to just get off. And I remember taking one step at a time, just climbing up, and of course, not liking heights anyway, climbing all the way to the edge, getting up to the diving board, and walking out to the edge of the diving board. And the pool looked smaller than it really was. And there I was at the end of the diving board, and I remember jumping in, and every one of these four things had to take place. I mean, I had to make a commitment, and I closed my eyes, and I just went off, and I passed the class because I dove. I don't think it was a very good dive. I think I kind of went in sideways, but I did go in head first, and I, you know, I was able to pass that section of the class. And I still remember to this day that incident of where I was climbing up the steps, one step at a time, all the way up. I didn't enjoy it. Stepping up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that if we're willing to step up, the reward, catch this, the reward is supernatural. It's supernatural. See, it says, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's supernatural. That's the reward that we get for being willing to step up. I want to introduce one more thing before we take some time to make a commitment here. One more story I want to look at briefly. But let me give you the principle that I want to think about. Last week we talked about small things. This week we're going to talk about big things. So here's the principle for this week. Let's step up to do big things that we can't do by ourselves. Let's step up to do things too big to do alone. Too big to do alone. Let's step up to the power of collaboration. Collaboration means that we need people around us in our lives where we do things together. Let's step up to the power of doing things with other people. Let's step up to that. Collaboration means that we're willing to do things with others, whether it's an accountability partner or whether it's a small group in your life or whether it's your spouse if you're married. Stepping up to do things together where it's going to take somebody else in your life to help you and to assist you by the power of God in order to accomplish that which you want. In fact, jump down in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 30 with me. I've read this a million times, and it hit me one more time as I was reading Hebrews chapter 11. Here's what verse 30 says. I'm actually going to read it from the New Living Translation. which is not what I typically read from, but here's what it says, and you have many different versions, it's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says this: "It was by faith that the people of Israel," some of your translations say the armies of Israel, "it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down." And if you like to underline in your Bibles, you might want to underline the faith that the people of Israel had, or the faith of the armies had. Now, if you've been to church for any length of time, you know this story is about Joshua, right? And I find it interesting that when you read through Hebrews, you have all kinds of names listed. Abraham gets quite a bit of press time in Hebrews 11. Moses gets 6 verses in Hebrews 11. You have people like Rahab, who's told to us in Joshua, and we'll read in just a second, she's a prostitute. We have Gideon, who was really a wimp. We have Jephthah, who made a promise with God, and it cost him his daughter. We have all these people listed in here, and Joshua, I don't know, but Joshua seems like a pretty large character in Scripture, and Joshua's not even mentioned. You know why? Because it was the people. It was the army. They did it together. They did something big. You know what that was? The walls of Jericho. Let's take a look at the story and draw just a couple of things that we might help us in our lives, because you might be facing something big. So big it looks like these massive walls in your life. Take your Bibles and hang a left and let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Let's look at the story for just a minute. I'll read portions of the story. And then we'll talk about a few things that we can learn from this story of how Hebrews doesn't mention Joshua's name. It mentions the people. It mentions the power of collaboration. It mentions doing things with other people. Joshua chapter 5, let's begin in verse 13. And we're going to talk about big things, doing big things. So let's read it. Let me read it for you. Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. "When Joshua was near the town of Jericho," and Jericho was the one that had the big walls, right? You remember that in Sunday school? Huge walls. "When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand." So Joshua walks up to the walls and he sees this man, looks like a warrior, and he's got a sword in his hand. So immediately he asks him a question. And Joshua went up to him and said, "Are you a friend or a foe?" In other words, are you with the Jericho? Are you with Jericho? Or are you with us? "Neither," he replied. That's confusing. "I am the commander of the Lord's army," and at this Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing on is holy." And Joshua did just as he was told. And the story begins there, and we'll continue reading on about what the commander of the Lord's army told Joshua what to do. But in this story, the beginning part of this story, what jumps out as an inference to us is a principle. You might want to jot this principle down when it comes to doing big things, because you might have something big you need to do in your life. Doing big things. Number one, often we want God just to do it for us. Often. When you're facing something big in your life, oftentimes we want God just to do it. We want God just to take care of it. Here Joshua comes up to the wall. He sees his soldier, and of course he asks the right question: "Are you with me or are you with them?" And the man replies, "Neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army." We don't know what was going through Joshua's mind. We're not told here, but Joshua was a human man, and I've faced big things in my life. Don't raise your hand. Springboro, Northmont Classics, Centerville. How many of you have dealt with big things? When we have big things in our life, often we want God just to do it for us. In fact, if you look at your prayer life, if you recorded them down and if you printed them off, sometimes it would look like that. God, just take care of this. But you know what's interesting? When I read stories in the Old Testament, and in fact, when I read things even in the New Testament, here's what I've noticed. God wants to be involved in every area of our life. But there are three ways God does things in our lives. Let me give you these three ways that you can consider them. Because oftentimes we want God just to do it for us. You know how you move the hand of God in your life? Especially when it comes to big things? Number one, faith. We read that in Hebrews, faith. Faith means that you have no idea what the future faces, and yet you're willing to trust Him, and you're willing to take that first step. I'm going to step up right now. That's what faith is. Faith says, God, You're in control of my life. I've surrendered my life to You, and I don't know how to face this big thing, but I'm going to do whatever it is that You want me to do. I will face this. And of course, we know the story. The commander of the army told Joshua and the people to do really what seemed pretty crazy. Take your horns, walk around the city, and do it for a week. Faith is the first thing. Here's the second thing that moves the hand of God. Action. Action. When you're willing to step up. You read stories in Scripture where Jesus healed people, and as He healed them, He said to them, I want you to take mud, and I want you to put it in your eyes, and I want you to go dip into a river seven times. That seems kind of crazy. But see, the action proves our faith. The action proves that we believe in God. The action proves that we're willing to let God do amazing things. Here's the third thing. That's usually a period of time. As we're asking God to do big things, oftentimes it is a period of time. Have you noticed that? It's a period of time. We want God to take care of it right there, and oftentimes it's a period of time in our lives, a week, a month, a year. Lazarus, Jesus could have healed him like that, and he waited till he died, which brought all kinds of pain in the siblings and friends. Why would Jesus do that? Because he had something bigger in mind. And so he accomplished something big and had something bigger in mind. Church, you know this. We've talked about this. God can do more than we can even imagine. Imagine. That's the first thing. Let's continue on. Look at chapter 6. Turn over to chapter 6. The fall of Jericho. It says, Now the gates of Jericho, verse 1, were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around this town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one last, long last blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the people and the priest and said, Take up the ark of the Lord's covenant, assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn or a shofar, as many of you might know. And then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in the front of the ark of the Lord. So the commander of the Lord's army is telling Joshua to do all these things. I would love to have been there when Joshua went back to the people and said, Okay, here's what we're going to do. You ready for this? We're going to march around for a whole week, and we're going to blow horns, and I would have loved to have been there. We learn another principle here about doing big things. Here's number two. Doing big things demands follow-through. It demands follow-through. I don't know about you, but I've noticed this, that in my life, that when I'm asking God for something in my life, typically God shows me the next step. Have you noticed that? And then you ask God, and He typically shows you the next step. And sometimes it's forward, sometimes it's to the side. We don't have any idea. Follow through. Follow through is so important. And in this story, as we read this, see, they had to walk around the city once for 6 days, and there had to be seven priests that had ram's horn, and then on the seventh day, they had to walk around seven times, and they had to blow the horns, and when they blew the horns really long, and when there was one long blast, the people had to shout, and Joshua said, I promise you, the walls will fall. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 8. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests of the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, don't even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. And then shout! So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day and then returned and spent the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest again carried the ark of the Lord. The seven priests with a ram's horn marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed march marched both in front and the priests with the horns behind the ark of the Lord. And at this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they did it again and again. And all the way to the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and then the people, Joshua commanded them to shout, and they shouted, and the walls came down. Now, it was only 7 days. But let me tell you the third thing, doing big things. Here's what doing big things takes. See, when we talk about doing big things, it may not have immediate results. That's why we talk about a period of time. It may not have immediate results. For them, it was only a week. My wife and I have been praying for 14 years. How about you? It's a period of time. And you take one day, and you step up. And you take the next day, and you step up. You take the third day, and you step up. All the way to the seventh day, and they walked around seven times. Verse 18, do not take any of the things set apart for the destruction. Verse 20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. I would have loved to have heard that. They shouted. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. It doesn't say it here, but I gotta wonder if there were at least one person, one skeptical person in that group that thought, wow, I didn't see that coming. The walls coming down, and they're rushing into the city, right? Big things. See, doing big things requires, fourthly, other people. Requires collaboration. I think that's why the writer of Hebrews didn't put Joshua's name down. He said the people of Israel, or the armies of Israel, marched around. Do you realize that if you and I are going to step up, it's going to take people in our lives. It's going to take accountability. It's going to take our spouses if you're married, a friend if you're single. It's going to take a small group. That's why we have small groups, so that you can share. Maybe not some of the intimate details, but you can share, you know, I made a decision this week. I just need you to pray about that decision. I want to step up in an area of my life, and I just want you to, every time we get together as a small group, would you pray for me? You may not even have to tell them what that is. Although sometimes it's good to tell them what it is because then they can ask specifically about those. So we're going to take some time right now to make a commitment. So I'm going to turn it over to Chip there in Classics. And Chip, if you'll walk through the seven things that we talked about. And I'm going to turn it over to Jared down there in Springboro. Pastor Jared, if you would just take over and help us there in Springboro. And Doug, Pastor Doug, if you'll help take over there in Northmont so that we can talk about a commitment that might need to be made. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life, what you've done in our lives over these 7 weeks as we have considered what it means for us to step up. We know, God, that you care so much about every aspect of our lives. And you know the hearts of every individual that is standing right now. You know the decisions that they're making. You know the areas of their life in which they're stepping up. And I pray, God, that you would hear the commitment that they're making and that you would assist them, that you would help them, that you would encourage them. I pray that supernatural things would take place, that rewards in their life would be evident because of the decision that they're making. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we've had this opportunity to be here today and throughout these last 6 weeks as we've looked at stories of individuals whose lives that we desire to emulate. So I pray now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that you would seal every one of these decisions, every one of these commitments as we step up to do that which you want us to. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And loudly, like the church, would you say, Amen. God bless you. Please be seated.